I've had the sense as I've been preaching through these messages that James has all but in person walked up to each one of us in some kind of a way through the messages and almost been in our face. He has said, what about this? 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 He's been pointed. Sometimes it may have felt like he's been sort of loud. As we come to this passage today, I feel like if I could represent the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit has put on my heart, it's kind of like now he's come to the end and he's gotten very quiet. Very quiet. And he's speaking to us in a quiet voice. And he's probably going to give us the most important thing that God has to say in the entire book. He's going to tell us what we're to do about each other when we go astray. What are we to do with sinning saints? What are we to do with wandering born-again believers who get off the path? If I have a choice, I love to hear God speak to me in the still small voice. If he has to raise his voice, I want to hear it too. But I believe today, if you'll listen, I believe through your pastor, your preacher, that you can hear the still small voice of the Lord. As he says, my brothers, and I would add that sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And so, Father, speak to us in your still small voice. And if you have to get louder to get our attention, then it's okay if you get louder or even shout. But whatever the case is, let us hear your word about our job with each other as fellow believers when one of us, maybe us, go astray. For Jesus' sake we pray. Seal your words to our heart. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Amen. The New Living Translation translates these last words as, my dear brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back again, you can be sure that the one who brings that person back will save that sinner from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. About 2 weeks ago, I told you about a man that was a month away from being 86 years old. And he went home to be with the Lord. His name is Eugene Peterson. Anyone in all the world, whether you like the message or not, it isn't required of you to like the message. It's not a translation. It's a paraphrase. This man took the time to get into all 1,189 chapters of the Bible, 39 books in the Old, 27 books in the New, and to do business with every single verse and try to put it in the vernacular of his own family and of his own church family. And all I can say about that is, whether you like that or not, that's a man that has to love the Scriptures to be that often in the book and to do business with every single verse in the Bible. Can you imagine? Gretchen, you are looking in that Good Morning Girls or whatever it is that you put out. You're dealing with different passages. Can you imagine someone trying to, in their own words, to say every verse? It's an incredible thing. And what does he say about this one? He writes these words. I believe they're remarkable. He says, my dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. And you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Today we come to this last message in the Epistle of James. Our Daily Bread writer that's gone home to be with Jesus, Julie Ackerman Link, once wrote these words, and I have prayed them for me and I've prayed them for all of you. Prayed them this week for all of us. She prayed this simple little prayer. You might want to write it down. May I learn to hear your quiet voice, Lord, so you don't have to speak to me in thunder. I'll say it again. May I learn to hear your quiet voice, Lord, so you don't have to speak to me in thunder. That's why I told you I think he is speaking in his quiet voice this morning to us. As I read these words, the Holy Spirit led me to imagine with you a day coming in glory. A day coming when we stand at the feet of Jesus. And as we stand at the feet of Jesus, someone that God has used us to rescue comes up behind us, puts a hand on our shoulder, and says, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I have a life that has changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. And as I thought about the person that wrote those words, that man, a brother in Christ, who wrote many beautiful songs that I sing and love, all the while, quietly in his life, was going through a period of temptation where the enemy was after him to bring him down. He had temptations for a homosexual lifestyle. And for years and years, he said no to those temptations. And God used him. And by the way, you have to understand that Jesus was tempted in all points as we have been, yet without sin. So the temptation itself was not the sin. But after God had used him so greatly, he succumbed. He was overcome by the temptation. After serving the Lord so long, and I wonder today, is there anyone that is going after Ray Bolts? Is there anyone going after that brother that got into a sinful lifestyle and still is? Is there anyone going after him? Maybe many have, but whatever the case, James is addressing something that is continually with us today, and that is that born-again believers do wander away from the fold of God. They get into drugs, alcohol, bitterness, grudges, gossip, immoral lifestyles, even into cultic, legalistic lifestyles. Where are the men and women of God who will roll up their sleeves and, like Barnabas, stop judging, gossiping, and condemning, but will go after these men and women who have fallen from the truth? Seldom is any text that I have ever preached on seemed to me more timely than this text. I believe in America today, the Church of Jesus Christ has omitted this text from their vocabulary or almost written it off. It is so easy to judge. All of Scripture is up to date and relevant, but this passage sounds almost as if God released James to come and stand among us and say to us, my brothers, my sisters, if anyone among you here in the Rock Springs Evangelical Free Church wanders away from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back that sinner from his wandering will save his or her soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I have been especially prayerful for Terry Medder and for this man whose wife I did her funeral a number of years ago, Jackie. She was a member of our church. And you remember how close Jackie and Karen Oldfield were, just very close people. And so I've been praying for Terry Metter to be found. I was at the dry cleaners on Tuesday, and I saw our outgoing sheriff, Mike Lowell, at the cleaners, and I asked him, "Tell me, how is that going?" And he spoke to me for a while, and he told me about the 150 volunteers. He told me about people that have come from other states. He told me about the drones. He told me about the dogs. He told me about the helicopters. He told me about all the things that they're trying to do and still cannot find either Terry Metter alive or his body. And then while I was gone to Phoenix, Wednesday through Friday, I heard about this man, 84-year-old man, that wandered off from Deer Trail. And unless some of you know something I don't know, is still being looked for by search and rescue. And I think to myself, the very words that Mike Lowell said to me, he said, every hour that goes by, every day that goes by, we get closer to the inevitable conclusion that Terry Metter is dead. And I thought to myself, that's what I pick up in this verse. That's what I pick up in this verse. The deep, deep, deep urgency. Will the team find his body or him? Or will the search be called off because of snow that has gotten too deep? Beloved, the urgency for us to get involved in God's search and rescue team has never been greater. Now know that if you are a born-again saint, you are automatically on the search and rescue team of the Lord. Every one of you are. But even though every believer is on the team, I find many respond differently to the call to go out in the storm and look for the lost. Can you imagine that it's you this time that's wandering and that you've got off the trail somewhere in town and you don't know for sure where you are and you're lost? Or can you think about being down on Pine Mountain someplace in that forest, that beautiful mountain, and yet you're without fire, you're without heat, you're without food? Can you imagine that no one comes looking for you? No one. No one. You finally stagger out to civilization, you get out to 4:30, somebody picks you up, and they said, "Are you so-and-so?" And you say, "I sure am." And they say, "Wow, I've been praying for you. I was praying for you. I want you to know, but I had a good TV show on that night, and it was really cold when I heard about you, and I decided I could do more good just praying for you at home. So I didn't get on the search and rescue team." And you talk to another person, and they didn't come either. They simply said, I wanted to be sensitive to your feelings. I thought you might be embarrassed if I came looking for you." And another person says, "I wasn't sure you were really lost. In fact, I thought it might be judgmental for me to imply that you really were lost. Besides, it'd be arrogant for me to say that I'm not lost." You see, we all are on our own journey, on our own paths. That's not the kind of search and rescue team I want if I'm lost. I want somebody coming after me. There are others that take a different tact. And they look at the person that has wandered away and they say, "You made your bed. Now you lie in it." There's others that would say, "You were warned and you deserve the mess that you're living in and the judgment that's coming." There's others that would tell as many people as would listen to the gossip, "Can you believe they took that wrong road and they're heading for hell? I don't feel any inclination to get my hands dirty and do anything. Maybe the pastor can do something. Maybe the pastors, I don't know. But I think they could have committed the unpardonable sin." And so go the excuses. And so what happens out in the world? They find 150 people to go out on Pine Mountain. But how many people in God's church we'll get on the search and rescue team after our own people? You know, beloved, sins are awful, no matter what sins they are. But do we write off people we have worshiped with, served with, testified with, prayed with, when they have wandered away? God says to us through James, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Any one of us can wander away from the truth. Someone bring back the sinner? Today I want us to examine our hearts. I want us to see if we are solid, searching, active members of God's search and rescue team. Are we active in bringing back wanderers, wandering brothers and sisters who have quit reading their Bible? That's a sin. He tells us to read it continually. We've quit praying. He says, pray without ceasing. It's a sin. Who have quit attending church, or rarely, and who have started up habits that are daily taking us further and further away from the truth? Are we swimming out to rescue those who are drifting further and further from the shore? Are we judgers or are we searchers? Are we condemners or are we rescue workers? Are we gossipers or are we intercessors trying to see the wanderers brought back home? In our text, I see five vital pointers that God wants us to grasp for our own. And he wants us to do so when a member of his forever family, right here, wanders off from the truth and is lost in the wilderness of sin. I want us to learn from these five pointers. You've seen those cairns out in the wilderness, haven't you? People are trying to tell you how to get there. This is the path right here. Not that one. This is the cairn. This is the pointer. These are five cairns, five pointers. I pray you will never forget them. The first one is anyone. Active members of God's search and rescue team are willing to identify, seek, and bring back fellow sinners. We each could be the next wanderer ourselves. Any one of us could be. James 5 says, my brothers, if anyone among you, the pathway of the Christian life is no easy pathway. Jesus compared our walk with the Lord to a narrow road which only a few people find. And there are plenty of people that when they have gone off, I don't care how many times, I know some people that have more than 9 lives. You know, a cat has 9 lives, we say. Well, I know a lot of people that have wandered away many, many, many times. And yet God has sent people after them to rescue them and to bring them back. The Lord compares our walk with the Lord to a narrow road which only a few people find and which only even fewer stay on. Paul likened the Christian race to a grueling marathon race. While Scripture is clear that Christ is our strength and our hope, never failing, the Scripture is clear that the way will not be easy. There will be afflictions. There will be difficulties on the way. James makes it clear that along the pathway of the Christian life, there are going to be some who at one point or another will wander off the trail and away from our guide, the Holy Spirit and His Word, and away from the body of Christ. If you don't believe in it, way back in the days of John Bunyan in the Bedford prison, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress about how many that were on the Christian way, and yet they got off at Bypath Meadow. They got it out at Doubting Castle. They got off at the Delectable Hills. Wherever it was, it's so easy to get off the trail. And the Scripture says, never say to yourself, well, I'd never get off, because all of us have been off the trail, every last one of us born again believers. The Scripture tells us that through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53:6. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I noticed yesterday, went out fishing a little bit, got some nice fish, and all I can tell you is that I saw all of these sheep, thousands of sheep. I just saw the shanty and never did see the shepherd, but Never even saw any of the dogs. But I began counting black sheep because I know that's the way they're put together. You count the black sheep, that's 100. Count another black sheep, that's another 100. I got up to over 31 black sheep. And I they were just stretched out over the hills. I have no idea how many thousand, but I know there's at least 3,100 of them out there. All of us, any one of us can wander away, and all wanderers place themselves in grave danger. Born-again believers do defect and wander away from the truth in both creed and conduct. Some believers are more prone to wander away in doctrine or truth. They're either ignorant of truth because they're not grounded in the truth, they haven't been mentored or discipled, or they're easily persuaded by cults that promise them the moon, and they're deceived and embrace false doctrine. And even in this past year, and I say this sadly, one of the people that stood in these baptismal waters within the last 2 years has gone to another religion. This person, their spouse, and daughter all have left us and have gone to another religion. I've spent much time. I've been in their home. I've wept. I've prayed. I've done everything I can. They have chosen to go to this other faith that doesn't believe in one God, but many. It's real sad. It's real sad. I'm not talking about someone that testifies something that's folly, but they testified a strong testimony of faith in Christ. I prayed with them, and yet they have departed. Will they come back? I'm still praying they will come back. And so I will go repeatedly, even in days to come. Though they've asked for their membership to be withdrawn, I will go back, and I will keep trying to bring them back. Other believers wander away from the truth because they've loved this world. They've made things in this world their idol, just like football or baseball or skiing or hockey or hunting or fishing, you name it. Anything, we can be like the associate of Paul, Demas, who left the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4:10, having loved this present world. Other believers, because of a bad habit, an immoral habit perhaps, they've walked away from the truth. As obedient children, they disobey and walk in error. They're willfully resistant to known truth. Instead of walking in the truth as obedient children, some disobey and they walk in pride and bitterness and in control. I wonder how many have walked away from the truth that are still in church today, but they're away from the truth because they want pride, pridefully control of that church. Such was the man in 2 John 9. His name was Diotrephes. John said of him, he likes to put himself first, and he doesn't acknowledge our authority. Many wanderers who quit going to church or quit reading their Bible or praying are simply adults who have never fully grown up spiritually, or maybe physically, some of them. They have never come to accept authority and submitting to authority. For them, it begins with finding fault with every pastor and every church they go to until there is nowhere left in their community to go to church. Nowhere left. Every pastor is wrong, every church is wrong, and now it's just me and my wife and kids. I'm not so sure about my wife. Well, what is that? He's off track. He's off track. He's wandered away from the truth. He says, we must not taint ourselves with any other believers. Anyone can go astray. That's the first cairn. It's the first pointer. Anyone! Never think you cannot be one. Paul warns us about anyone in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. He says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. That's number one. The first pointer is what? What? Anyone. Number two, wanderer is the second one. Wanderer. Active members of God's search and rescue team are motivated to restore wanderers, wandering sheep, to the truth. Now, if anyone among you wanders, anyone can be a wanderer. In James' words, there are some who wander from the doctrine, from the truth. The Greek word for wonder is the word planao, or plane. It's the word from which we get planet. There's a picture in the English that the North Star is a fixed place, but every night Mars or Jupiter, some of the planets, are in a little bit different spot. They drift from their spot the night before. That's where we get that word. And planeo, or planao and plane, means to stray from orthodoxy, to be deceived. As James says, don't be deceived in James 1:16, to err in belief, to be seduced, to wander off course, to be fraudulent. It means to be found believing a lie. As believers over time, every last one of us are able to drift. There are so many reasons for our faith to erode. We let go of our roots in the Word of God. We spend less and less time, and finally we don't read it. We embrace sinful practices and morals, and then we work backwards. We try to write our practices into the Word of God so the Word of God matches our practice. Without the Word of God in prayer, we get busy, we get consumed with activities. There's no space, there's no time of silence, there's no time to meditate on the Word of God. We gradually, in the course of a year or so, even get out of the habit, not only of reading our Bible and praying, but of even going to church. We used to be there when the doors were open. Then we quit Wednesday night, and then we quit Sunday night. And then we quit Sunday school, and then we finally quit even Sunday morning being regular, and sometimes we just rarely show up. What is that? We have drifted. Beloved, it's so easy for us to smile at the idea that any one of us have wandered. But if you want to know if you've wandered, all you have to do is read Hebrews 10:25 about even being here today. I'm so glad each of you are here. But God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but exhort, encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day of His return drawing near. In other words, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more you need to be accountable in His house. That's what God's Word says. This is a wake-up call for every one of us. If you smile in that area, God's speaking to you. He said, that's no big deal. We justify it. We rewrite the Word of God. Have we wandered away from the truth? The first cairn or pointer is what? Anyone. The second one is wanderer. Number three is someone. 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 Notice, active members of God's search and rescue team want to follow the restoring example of our own Redeemer. We read here, it's not the primary job of pastors or elders with spiritual oversight. It's the job of the search and rescue team, which is any someone. It says, my brothers, read it with me in verse 19. If anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone, it doesn't say a pastor, doesn't say an elder, can be those, but someone brings him back. Could that someone be you? Could that someone God uses be you? Like Jesus, will you leave the 99 to rescue that sheep that's astray? It may take years of faithfulness to see that person fully rescued. Will you be a Barnabas? God always goes after the wanderers. He did that from the time Adam and Eve fell. Remember, they fell? They sinned in the garden. God went looking for them in the cool of the evening. And He called out, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I'm hiding. He says, why are you hiding? Because I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of that tree that I told you not to eat of? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you done that? He came after him. When Moses murdered a man in Egypt, God hunted him down and spoke to him through a burning bush and used him mightily for 40 years. When Jonah ran away from God and his call in disobedience, God sent a big fish to first swallow him and then get an upset stomach and vomit him in the right place so he could still go to Nineveh and preach the gospel and be used of God. The children of Israel were regular wanderers from God. They went to idols. The Lord kept coming after them in hot pursuit, disciplining them and restoring them. When Peter denied knowing Jesus, "I know not the man," three times, Jesus came after him after the resurrection and said, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Finally, after saying, "Do you agapao me?" which means love. Two times he says, "Do you even phileo me? Do you even have brotherly love for me?" And Peter cried and said, "Oh Lord, you know I phileo you. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb, shepherd my sheep." Remember Thomas? He wandered off in doubt. He wasn't with the other disciples. Who knows where he was, but he wasn't with them. People said, "Well, we saw him, he's alive." He says, "Unless I see it with my own eyes and put my finger in to the nail prints, I will not believe." So the Lord showed up. And Thomas was there this time, and he says, "Reach hither your finger." He didn't do it. He just got on his knees and said, "My Lord and my God." The whole Christmas story is the story of God coming after us, coming after sheep that are gone astray, after sinners that need to be saved. He came to show us who God is, to die for us as our Redeemer, to bring us back. All the shame and agony of Calvary was to rescue those that have gone astray. And I ask you, do we share our Redeemer's heart? Do we share his love and concern for those that wander away? James is down to business. He's closing his epistle. This is his last, final, now and forever call. He didn't write any other books. This is it. He wasted no words. Do you hear the urgency in his call? And yet you know what the Church of Jesus Christ, and I found it out in all the commentators as I read all these commentaries. Everyone wanted to argue over the security of the believer. This was not written for us to argue over the security of the believer. "Well, what do you believe, preacher?" "I believe if you're really, truly saved, you're saved. But you know what? That doesn't have anything to do with right now what I am looking at in this text. What I'm looking at in this text is somebody that's out in the cold, someone that's gotten away from God, that's gotten away from truth." You know, so what do we do? We sit around and say, "Well, really wasn't saved in the first place." How many times have we said that about a person? They really weren't saved in the first place. What if someone came to you when you got proud and sinned? When you got bitter and sinned? When you gossiped and sinned? Or you spoke ill words to your spouse and sinned, and they said, "Are you really saved? I don't believe you're really saved." We need to be careful. We need to be careful. The last time you wandered away from faithfully praying, were you saved? James cuts through the rhetoric, and with concern, urgency, and a strong call, he's telling us, for the wanderer, the death of that person's soul is somehow on the line. People can argue about what that is, but I read in other places in Scripture, I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, that those, as last week as we had the Lord's Supper, that those who have sin in their life, they've wandered from the truth, any one of those sins, and it's a known sin, and they don't intend to put it away, and they take the cup of the Lord, they take the unleavened bread, the body and blood of our Lord, they take it, and they don't take it confessing their sins. The Bible says the result of that, Paul says, is weakness, sickness, and some of you have already died. Why do I always talk about that? Because I believe the woodshed of the Church of Jesus Christ is the disciplinary examining of ourselves at the table of the Lord. At the table of the Lord, one more time we say, "Where am I with you, Lord? Am I on track or am I not on track?" Every one of us can get off track. God never gave us these verses to argue about whether a true believer can lose their salvation or whether they were ever saved in the first place. He gave these words to send us out as a search and rescue team. Whatever the consequence of wandering is, it's not time for theological debate spiritually. It's time for us to put on our long underwear. It's time for us to get out our Red Wing boots. It's time for us to get our heaviest coat, our warmest flannel shirt, spiritually speaking, and head out into the cold until we bring back the wanderers. Many years ago, in 1975, we were having such a time of people being saved, we had We had so many being saved from Illinois State University, a school that then, I don't know how many it has now, but it had over 25,000 students at that time. A great big university in Normal, Illinois, part of Bloomington. And one of the girls that got saved, one of those girls, I told Jenny, I believe we need to have her over for lunch. So we had her over. Her name was Ann Marshall. We had her over to our house. She stayed with us till about 4 o'clock. She was a zealot. Have you ever seen a Christian zealot? She was a zealot from the day she got saved. She was going to live for God. She was going to beat the rest of the world. She was going to out-zealot us all. A couple weeks went by, and she didn't show up for church, and I felt uneasy about her. God can put an uneasiness, can he, on about someone. And I wept. I said to Jenny, I said, I heard that there is a cult group, a real bad cult group up there at Illinois State University, and they're plying. They're plying on the college to get anyone they can to go with them. The ladies are all dressed down to their, with these long, long dresses, and the men all have beards, but they believe some cultic things. They don't even believe Jesus is God. I said, I've got to eat dinner quick. And I took off and left Jenny. I said, pray over me. She prayed over me. And I went looking all over the campus. I went up to the door where she lived. They said, no, she's not been here for a couple days. That really frightened me. And I said, that group, does anybody know where that group is? And they told me where that group was, north of town, on 51, going out of Bloomington Normal, out of Normal. I went up there and I found some tents and I found some cars, old cars, and I saw these people on the street beckoning to different people. And I looked through the group. I just stopped there and looked through the group, and then I found, there she is, Ann Marshall. And I went over and started talking, and they tried to get her not to listen to me. And I said, Ann, please come to the car and let me at least talk to you. Give me that courtesy. Boy, she was angry and she was reluctant, but she came to the car and she sat in the car. What are you trying to do to me? I'm trying to follow Jesus. And I said, these people don't even believe Jesus is God. Can you prove that? I said, yes, I can. And they were shouting at me. And I said, can we drive away from this place? And we drove away. And then I showed her from a book what these people believed. For 42 years, she's been the wife of my brother Bruce. Ann Marshall Carlson. I have a niece and a nephew by her. And I want you to know, when you bring back someone who has wandered astray, there's no greater joy. It's not just a pastor's job. It's not just an elder's job. It's your job. It's my job. Will you be that someone? Number four. I've told you the first pointer. What is it? What is it? Anyone. The second one? Wanderer. What's the third one? The fourth one is, make it a hyphenated word, bring back. Bring back. Bring back. Active members of God's search and rescue team desire to bring back the sinner from wandering and save their soul from death. Notice chapter 5, verse 20. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death. The Greek word for bring back is one word, epistrepho. So in the Greek, it's just one word. It means revert, turn back, bring back to conversion, turn from falsehood back to truth. This is not to be theologically a big debate. Our job is to be on the search and rescue team. These people James speaks of are our family. My brothers, if anyone among you, that's your bunch there at Rock Springs Evangelical Free Church, that's your bunch. Would you go after your own child or your own sister, your own brother, your own aunt, your own uncle, your own mother, your own father, your own child, would you go after them? Yes, you would. They are the subject of James' call. We are brothers and sisters in the family of God. And I hear people saying, I read commentators that said it, James isn't talking about saints that are astray, but sinners. Who do you think we are? We are sinners saved by grace. What about one of those sinners saved by grace that was a man after God's own heart, that as a man after God's own heart committed adultery and he murdered and he deceived a whole nation until he was confronted with his sin? And he had to say, even though God had forgiven him in Psalm 51:3, he couldn't forget how awful it was. He said, "My sin is ever before me." Psalm 51:3. You know the Apostle Paul? As gloriously as he was saved on the Damascus Road, he never forgot what a sinner he was. And he told us what a sinner he is in Romans 7. He says, "The very thing I try not to do, that I do, and the very thing I try to do, that I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am." He, too, was a sinner. And what did he say in 1 Timothy 1:15 about himself? He says, "I don't care how bad a sinning saint you are, I'm worse." He says, "I'm the chief of sinners." Beloved, bringing back a sinning saint is one of the greatest blessings you or I could ever live to do. You don't need seminary training to do it. You need a desire in your soul to be on the search and rescue team. You have a desire in your soul to obey Galatians 6:1 that says about restoring sinning saints. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are mature or spiritual, not judges or condemners or gossipers, but you who are mature, you not who are pastors or elders, but you're one of the some ones, should restore him or her in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." And as the debate goes on about whether this person he's talking about is saved or not saved, I want to tell you, it says in verse 20, "Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death." What is that Greek word? It is sozo. It means, you know, people argue, is it physical death, spiritual death, what emotional death, what is it? It's a dramatic rescue. But the word sozo means to deliver, to protect, to make whole, to heal, and mostly to save our souls. And if you want to know where it's used again, it's in the same verse, 1 Timothy 1:15, where Paul says Christ Jesus came into the world to sozo sinners. To sozo sinners, of whom I am chief. Whatever this salvation is, the theologians can fight about it, but I want to be faithful to be on the search and rescue team. The search and rescue team, I want to be faithful to serve until death on the search and rescue team. So we have the first cairn, the first pointer is anyone. Second one? Wanderer. Third one? Someone. The fourth one? Bring back. And the last one is cover. Cover. If you're a lover of God, you learn to cover. Notice it says, "Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Active members of God's search and rescue team are motivated by love for God and their brother or sister. We'll cover a multitude of sins. God doesn't promise we'll always be successful. One of the hardest things is when you work with people for years and they go back again. It breaks your heart. I've been falsely accused. I've been cursed. I've been roared at in anger. You don't know what I'm going through. I've been laughed at, put off, but I can tell you, when the search and rescue works, Jesus comes back from the mountain. He's been out in the wilderness. He's picked up the sheep. He's pulled it up. He's put it on his shoulder. And he comes back as that picture that we read this morning, Pastor Larry read it. And there's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing on earth because I have found the sheep that was lost. And he used you or he used me. What a day that is. If you get on the search and rescue team, it will take a deep love for God. It will take a deep love for His book. And it will take a deep love for people. Despite their past, despite addictions, immoralities, bitterness, despite pride and gossip and control and suicide attempts, whatever the sin may be, lovers keep loving. Lovers keep seeking, as our Savior did, to seek and save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. We must love regardless of the response, regardless of the results or regardless of the cost. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, then you need to read Jude 1, 25 or 21 to 25, and here is how to do it. You say, I don't know how to be on a rescue team. The first thing, you see, Jude had the same concern. Jude had the same concern. This search and rescue thing, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Okay, don't go astray with the wanderer. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So keep yourselves holy and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Wow. This is a dirty business going after people. Wow. You know, yesterday I cleaned some fish. I had to wash up afterwards. That's just to be able to eat good fish. She would be afraid to get muddy. She would be afraid to get dirty. And then it goes on to say, he's just talked about how to do it. Now he says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Why? Because you might stumble into the same sin. There are certain ways that you bring someone back that you don't have to go into that joint that they're in and watch what they're watching. You wait until they come out. He'll keep you from stumbling. And he's able to present you blameless and faultless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. God bless you if you'll get on the rescue team. James had to have known Proverbs 10:12 that says, Pastor Larry read it, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. True love covers. God's search and rescue team is a team of lovers who love God and who love others. And don't try to expose, but try to bring people back so sins are covered. What was the last one? Covered. What's the first one? Anyone? Wanderer. Someone? Bring back. Cover. If you'll keep those cairns on your journey with the Lord, God will use you on his search and rescue team for the glory of God and the good of his church. And there just may be an Ann Marshall that he'll help you bring back for the glory of God. Would you bow your heads?